on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. This is Wolf Spirit Radio. And good morning. This is May the 5th, 2015. No. Sorry, I've just time traveled back in time. Yes, this is May the 5th, 2013. God, I wonder where that came from. How bizarre. Anyway, let's start off the show with a big shout out to everybody who's listening, and it's good to be back on the air on my showtime. I'll just turn up my mic a little bit more. There we go. The stove is chugging away nicely. There's a little fire going there. That should be keeping me warm throughout the evening and throughout the night. It's 11 o'clock p.m. in United Kingdom, in Scotland, here where I am. And it's about 3:30 in the morning where my guest is supposed to be. She is in Kolkata, she is currently not showing up on the Skype. So she's probably... the time says 22:22, which is very bizarre. I really all very strange. So until that time, I'm open to people calling in. You can call in on the Wolf Spirit Radio chat number. We're talking on call in number, which is 657-5973 on area code 775. We would like to say that that Wolf Spirit Radio is a listener supported station, and if you could kindly click the donate button and drop in a couple of dollars, dinars or renminbis, if you have any of those, or bitcoins, actually. It's probably by the time this, you hear this on the archive, the bitcoin will be the only currency that is actually valid. It's very interesting. It's something I've been blabbering on about to people for a long time, and everybody's going, oh no, the economy's fine. And then, and now we're seeing it all collapse, and I've been saying, oh, it's the banks, you know, don't worry. It's not the government, it's the banks. And everybody's saying, oh no, it's the government, it's the government. Now they're saying, oh yeah, you're right, it was the bank. It's just quite interesting to see this whole thing being, coming out into the open, and the actual corruption being brought to light, and what the nature of that corruption is. There's a lot of stuff came out towards the end of last year about this character Jimmy Savile, and now we know what corruption means. It means paedophilia. And maybe we could explore that. Is anybody out there who wants to have a conversation? Because nobody's here. I'm just here on my own. And it's a quiet little place here in a cottage in the north of Scotland. I mean, in fact, it's a lovely, it's a lovely kind of place, really. I've been working this weekend with my girlfriend. She's been painting, and I've been appreciating and cooking and doing all these things, and so she painted my kitchen white, and I'm very grateful to that. I'm grateful to her for that. She's at a concert in the park this evening. Hopefully it's not bad weather, and it should be all right. Should be quite a fun evening. So good luck to everybody who's playing in the park in Forres this evening, if anybody's listening to that. So I'm here on Wolf Spirit Radio. The telephone number's 775-657-5973. And that is the number you can call in to. You can have a Ray reading or just have a conversation with me. But things are pretty quiet this evening. I wonder where everybody is. It's quite unusual. I'd like to chat to somebody. Maybe I need to talk. Since nobody, you know, this is one of these things that that you get is indicators. You know, sometimes if you're thinking, well, there's nobody around and I'm bored and, you know, what should I do? Maybe this is the universe. This is the universe saying it's time to talk about something that you've never given space to. There's now some silence for that to happen. So it would be interesting to have a look through that. So, yeah, well, one of the things I've been doing this week is to actually create a new website. That has a radio stream and it has a chat room and a pop out and this and all that. It's very quite cool. That's everbeyond.info, and on everbeyond.info, yes, James, be excellent to each other. On everbeyond.info, you can look at some of the products that I've been creating over the last few years, and well, at the time I thought they were kind of randomly all sort of not really connected to each other, but they all have a focus and a coherence, and their purpose is focus and coherence. They involve geometric form, they involve crystals, they involve magnets, coils, resin, powdered metal, powdered crystal, different kinds of crystal, and what they all do is create vortexes in their own way. And I think that's really the answer to the whole thing is getting into the vortex. And that's one of the things that Abraham Hicks talks about, isn't it? Getting into the vortex. But yeah, essentially that's the idea of meditations and all of that stuff, because living things are vortices, and consciousness is a vortex, and when you get into the bigger vortex, then you're suddenly part of the global consciousness, and you can see what's going to happen a few seconds in advance. That's the way it goes. One thing I didn't notice several seconds in advance is that I didn't bring my cup of tea with me, so I might dry out one at some point during the show, and I have to put a track on and dash over and see what happens. So we'll see how far I can get before I have to put this track on. Mind you, it's quite a good track, you might be interested in it. We are here, this is Wolf Spirit Radio, and this is Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. My website is www.everbeyond.info, and up on this site you can see some of my products. And what I was talking about just now is that there are different forms. The first form is the copper pyramid. Now, I haven't really got the space for them at the moment to make these things. So it's a kind of showcase at the moment, but if somebody wanted one, I would certainly make the time and space to build it and to recreate the workshop that I have, because basically it needs a workshop to build them with and get the holes in exactly the right place and all that stuff. So it would be better to have places where I've got a template and I can make them easily. But essentially there's a copper pyramid that's made in two sizes. One is 90 inches and the other is 6 feet. It's very interesting, actually. A lot of these sacred instruments, they are based on the inch rather than the centimeter. It was very interesting that the head pyramid is 9 inches, and the Big Pyramid is 90 inches, and the Great Pyramid is 90 inches, and stuff like that. It's a harmonic. They call it, you know, when you get a number like 20 and it becomes 20, 200, 200,000, you know, all of that sort of stuff. They have a resonance there by their numbers, and they call that a harmonic. And it's the harmonic in numerology of it, the frequency of the numerology, which has its own energy, of course. So we have the 72-inch pyramid and the 90-inch pyramid. 72 inches is good enough for a single bed or a person, you know, you want something that is kind of quite portable. You want to take it, you know, it's only 6 feet, so, you know, you can make a 6 foot space. It's harder to make a seven foot six space than it is to make a 6 foot space. So it's for the kind of the more compact version. But the full size one, which is exactly 1/100 the size of the Great Pyramid, is a full 7 foot six. And that'll encompass a king size bed. You know, if you have a king size bed, you can put this thing right around it, and there's plenty of room to step in and out of it. It's made of copper. It's made from copper tubing, and it comes with the ends are flattened. They're terminal. It's pretty actually quite tricky to make. You know, you got to really think these things through, and work them out in your mind before you actually build them, and then they all fall together. That was the beauty of making geometric forms, and it still happens. You know, I still have to make them. And this is something actually that I might start selling as well. Now I have them in my room. People who come to visit me will always see these things kind of spinning around in the from the ceiling. One is a Merkaba. That is a what do they call it? Metatron's cube. Metatron's cube and Merkaba are very, very similar words. Merkaba. Kaba is the same as cube. So it's just, you know, different vowel, different pronunciation, different accent. And so a cube and Kaba are very, very closely related. And indeed, the Kaaba is the building in Mecca, where it is the holy place, and it is a cube. It's a great big black cube. Anyway, they don't talk much about the big black cube that they worship. Anyway, that might be something that I would be selling, is hanging Merkabas. They're lovely to look at, and if you have one spinning above you, it's a very relaxing. It puts you immediately into meditation and helps you calm your nerves and all those good things. It's like listening to meditation music without even having to listen to music. How great is that? Mind you, it's quite nice to listen to music. Gibson Brothers, Cuba. All right. Nice one. We also have a chat room at Ever Beyond, and it's the old style Chatango chat room, so it'd be good. Hey, who's making a copper tube pyramid? Quiet Pilot is. All right. Well, there you go. You're making similar things. I've got them on my site, everbeyond.info. Just look under products, and you'll see meditation pyramids. You'll see one planted right in the middle of the Findhorn Foundation, a great universal hall with a pentangle beneath it. That's quite an interesting little spot, a little hot spot there. One royal cubit. So a royal cubit, that's about 18 inches. Hey Tony, do you want to come in and talk about it? I'll bring you in. Just message me on Skype, and I'll bring you in, and we can talk about 26.5 inches. All right, what can you get in there? So yeah, a royal cubit. Why would that be 26.5 inches? I bet that's the size of an Anunnaki elbow. Cubit is supposed to be the elbow to the fingertips. www.everbeyond.info. So yeah, where are you? Come on, Tony. Tony B, where are you? Yes, so the stove is chugging away very nicely over there. That's got a good flame going. I don't know if you can hear it in the background. It's a kind of, you can hear it crackling, but it's a kind of like a wind blowing sound. There we go. I haven't found them yet. Anyway, so I've got these pyramids, and these pyramids are big enough to put around your bed. They're great for a meditation room. You can get four people. The 6 foot one, you can probably get about two people sitting back to back on them. But the 7 foot six ones, you can get four people comfortably under that. You know, on the corners. Under each of the faces, and sitting down in a meditative place with the heart center. And this is the important bit. What you have to do is you mount your pyramid so that your heart center is at the King's Chamber position, which is exactly one third of the way up. And the reason for that, if you need to have a reason, there has to be a reason. Why is the King's Chamber where it is? Well, if you were to take a string and you stretch it from the pyramid tip to the pyramid base, if there was another pyramid underneath it and it goes down to the tip of that. So imagine instead of a pyramid, there's an octahedron. There's like a pyramid reflected above and below. This is the one of the origin, as above, so below. Then if you were to draw a string between the two apices of the pyramids, and you had that string there, you would be able to pluck it, and it would sound like a guitar string, and it would vibrate. Now, because of the structure of vortexes, they would always go to the highest harmonic. When you have a note that is singing, I don't know if you've ever, well, if you listen to, say, yeah, Jimi Hendrix, you'll hear him play a note, and that note just continues because it's doing something that's called feeding back. That note will continue, and then sometimes the note will jump up in frequency. So it will go, and what it's doing is it's vibrating up the harmonics. Now, one of these harmonics, which is known as the second harmonic, it has nodes one third of the way along the string. So there's two nodes on the string. And that is an indicator. It divides the string into three equal sections. And that, if you were to stretch a string between the apex and the apex, that's where the King's Chamber is. And so I am proposing that there is another chamber exactly in the same position below the ground as there is above the ground. Because we know that the Queen's Chamber is level with the ground, which is what we call the first harmonic. So, that's... right, okay, so have I not got your... Right, let me just see. Oh, I haven't got your Skype, okay. I thought I had. Let me see. It might be in one of our previous roundtables. It's certainly be in the War Spirit back channel chat room. Let me see if I can get there, and I might be able to pull you out of that one. Oh, isn't this exciting? Oh, there's Flash has crashed. Yes, I don't know why Flash crashes all the time, but it does all the time. And I am looking for Tony Patrick, and you're not in that one. Right, okay. Right, let me just put this jeremy.pern. Okay, so I'm just putting my chat, my Skype in there, and I'll get in touch with Tony in a few minutes once he's there. So where was I? Yeah, so we're talking about pyramids. Ah, there you are. Hey, dude, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very, very good.
Let me kill the live feed here.
Kill that live feed, because that's two minutes in the future.
Yeah. We're time traveling already.
That's right. Well, I managed to get 2 years. For some reason, I became 2 years in the future when I was introducing the show. I just, it's
2015 already.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't say, it's May the 5th, 2015, and things are looking
good.
Wow. But yeah, I quickly noticed.
I've been having some time anomalies. Literally, it's been a strange year so far.
Oh yeah.
So pyramid stuff. I actually went out crystal shopping yesterday, and I got a 2-inch Tiger Eye pyramid crystal. It was $37, and I slept on it last night along with a bunch of amethyst, and what a night. It was very, very active.
Really?
Let me put it that way. Yeah. And I've built Orgonite pyramids. I'm trying to think who I showed it to on Skype. I think it was Helena Phoenix that I showed it to, and she wants one. And the base of that is actually about, let me get a, is a little over 4 inches. And I put crystals in, and I went to a machine shop and got a bunch of metal chips and shavings.
Ah, that's the key. That's the key.
Yeah.
I need a machine shop.
This machine shop, well, there's a bunch of them here in Seattle, but this one just happens to be one of the ones that makes parts for the hydroplanes that we run over here. And they wondered what I wanted with these metal shavings, and when I said I was willing to buy them, they said, don't bother. And they just gave me a box full of metal shavings.
Yeah, because actually it cost them to get rid of it.
Exactly, I did not know that.
And I had when I first made my Orgonite, I used to do some work for a company that made solar panels, the water heater solar panels, and the frames were aluminium, so they had loads of aluminium shavings. But my girlfriend keeps complaining about the energy of them, and they don't. It's a bit of a drab silvery. Do you get brass?
Yeah.
I love brass clippings.
Yeah.
Oh,
the
brass.
Shavings are aluminum, brass, steel, copper, and it's beautiful when it's. What I had to do is go through the box and take out the large spirals that have been, when they're turning a rod or something.
Oh, they're really nice.
Yeah, but it doesn't go into the matrix of a small pyramid very easily. So what I did is I sorted out all the big pieces, so I just have all these shavings that are probably about anywhere from a 32nd to a 16th up to about 3/16 of an inch. Mm. So you have this basic metally, like a salad of all these different kinds of shavings, and I layered them in the pyramid. I'm actually going to do something different, because looking at Orgonite, the work that William Wright did, I think that I want to do what he did when he was making his organite boxes for healing people, mm-hmm. is that he layered the box sides vertically with this, you know, steel wool, organic matrix, and then I'm trying to think of the other things that he used in that, because he alternated the layers, and I want to do that not vertically, as you would look at a pyramid sitting on the ground and you see the layers vertically. Mm-hmm. I want to do it so from the sides. So,
like a coating. Well, you'd need to make a different kind of coating. You'd need to brush in the resin and then coat, fill the metal
right.
in and let it let it dry, let it set, and then
rotate it.
I know what you can do. I know what you can do. You make small pyramids out of different stuff, and then make bigger pyramids by putting the small pyramids embedded into the bigger ones.
Right. Yeah, that's one way to do it. I hadn't thought about that, but what I was going to do it is, how I was going to do it is that I've got some larger pyramid molds that I'm going to make out of Mylar. I had, because I'm a model builder, Mylars are used for molding wings.
And what's Mylar?
Mylar is like a shiny plastic, and you can get it in different thicknesses, from just really, really super thin stuff so it molds around things really easily, like an airfoil.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get it up to thicknesses to where it really holds its shape. It just stays flat. And I've got a whole roll of that kind of stuff, and I could probably easily make a mold out of that, because I figured out when I was laying out my first mold, when you lay out the pyramid corners being an equilateral triangle,
mm-hmm.
using a 30-60 degree triangle, is that, I'm trying to describe this visually for a person, is that if you do that and you have, you're going to have to look at it as a circle divided equally 30-60 degrees. And when you do that, you only need four sides, so there's kind of going to be a pie shape cut out of that circle.
Yeah, it's a sort of Pac-Man shape.
Right, exactly. So what you do is you have that pie shape cut out, and then at those 30-60 degree angles, you fold it there. Yeah. And it all just folds together into a perfect equilateral triangle
pyramid
that is the same dimensions aspect-wise as the Great Pyramid.
Mm.
And I just thought that that was really interesting, because it was a process of kind of figuring out, okay, 30-60 degrees, how do I get all these sides to fit together? And I realized, oh, okay, if I use a circle and then just go the same dimension from the center of the circle, mark it on each line, that's going to give me my equilateral triangle as I go from line to line. And that width is exactly the same as the length and the height.
Right. Except, here's the bad news.
This is why I'm asking you, is that I know I don't have all the information.
Yeah, here's the bad news.
Into a sacred geometry, because I know the numbers are really important. And
absolutely.
That's why I started looking up the exact size of a royal cubit.
Right. Okay, here's the bad news, right?
Okay.
The Cheops pyramid is not exactly an equilateral triangle.
Okay,
to get that,
one.
All right. Okay. And it's
isn't it actually 29.5 degrees or something?
It's 51 degrees from the on the slope. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I follow that, but that doesn't translate into, because the slope, because it is sloped,
yeah,
it's going to be different when you take that plane on a slope and mm-hmm. you actually upright it vertically.
Well, if
you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, it would be 60 degrees, wouldn't it, if it was an equilateral triangle?
Mm-hmm.
But it's 51,
right.
So it's slightly dipped. It's slightly...
That's why it looks squat. That's why it doesn't look like an equilateral triangle, is because the sides are actually canted to that degree.
Yeah, they're sloped over. But, you know, if you were to look Let me just look on this. I have...
There is some excellent information on pyramids. I mean, there have been some very, very brilliant people, machinists, who have gone over that thing in numbers and everything, and it's staggering, the amount of information. Yeah.
All right, so here's the thing. It's 96% or thereabouts, you know, depends on... You know, I can give you the exact... I think it's like 95.8% of the base that the sides are. So it's just squat of an equilateral triangle.
Okay.
And I can go through the maths of it, but basically what I did in the end, you know, I did all the I used Pythagorean theory of squares, and it's a three-stage process of working out the exact... and basically, what you're doing, when you're building a pyramid, like building a copper pyramid, what you're doing, all you need to know is how long each arm is and how long each base is. That's right. All you need to know. And right. More or less, 95, 96%, that's about as accurate as you'll need to be.
Okay, I'm taking notes here, JP. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited about this. I mean, this has been kind of going around in the back of my head for quite some time since I did the Orgonite Pyramid, and I've gotten so many comments from people I've showed it to. Mm. The other thing is that in the pyramid, in the peak of it, what I did is I put a citrine crystal, probably a one... I'm looking at it now. That citrine crystal just fit beautifully in the peak of the pyramid. For some reason, it just happened to have the right shape and everything. And that is a good one. It's bigger than an inch crystal mm-hmm. in its diameter, looking mm-hmm. from the top, directly from the top.
Yeah, it's a big fan.
And what I also did is that I was using fiberglass resin, which is kind of a golden brown. You can get clear epoxy resin, which I actually got totally by accident yesterday. I was going to a model building friend of mine that's moving to England. Mm. And he had a gallon and a half of this clear laminating resin.
Oh, is it glass clear?
Yeah, it's perfectly
clear.
Oh,
yeah, that's the stuff I use.
For $20, and that stuff is like $150.
Yeah, I know. That's the stuff I use. A gallon and a half. Oh, superb.
Yeah.
You know what you can make with one of those?
Yeah, I'm pumped. I went to the crystal store and got a bunch of crystals. I got the Tiger Eye Pyramid and a bunch of amethyst that is actually turned down into these very large beads. Mm-hmm. And the beads, the biggest one is over an inch, and I was really looking for actual crystals out of amethyst, and I was talking to this guy, and he says, they don't do that. It pays to turn these things into beads, and it's not worthwhile to make this amethyst, it's aquamarine. For some reason, I'm drawn to aquamarine, and I went into the Crystal Bible, and what I found is that the aquamarine is actually a great healing crystal. And so I don't know why I was drawn to aquamarine, but kind of intuition, I guess, working there, because I want it for healing and for dream time. And when I started reading the Crystal Bible, that's what it said it's also good for, is dream time and clairvoyance and seeing... what's the other word for clairvoyance? Intuition.
Right. So, okay. So let's just roll back a bit.
Okay.
Interesting.
I'm pumped.
That's fine. Interesting fact number 24 is that the angle of the top of the pyramid is exactly the same angle as the angles on the quartz crystal. Interestingly enough, so if you had a pyramid base and you took a quartz crystal, and as you drop your resin in, you can drop a quartz crystal, and that point will sit exactly in the point of the pyramid.
Yeah, that's why that citrine crystal fit in there so perfectly. I was amazed when I dropped it into my mold the first time. I just went, "Oh my God, the angles are the same," because it fit perfectly. I have another pyramid that's used for. candle making, and it's too steep. It's too
yeah, that's an equilateral triangle. You see, that's the thing. So so when you're making, say you got your mylar. Now, by the way, does mylar resist heat?
Yes, it does.
Really?
Yes, that's why it's so great.
Oh, now you're talking.
Resins always generate quite a bit of heat.
Yeah.
And when you're making sailplane wings, you actually put them in a hot box,
right,
too, to get that heat generated so it sets real nicely.
Right. Wow.
Epoxy, depending on how hot you make it, you can make it to where it'll actually melt plastic when it goes off. And mylar is not.
Yeah. If you look at my video, you'll see that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've seen guys who use past plastic cups to mix their epoxies.
Yep.
And did all their epoxy work and everything, put their wings in their beds and vacuum bagged it. That's part of the process, is vacuum bagging.
All right.
And then they came back to their workbench and there was epoxy all over their workbench because their plastic mixing cup melted.
Oh, yeah, no. Horrible, horrible.
Yeah. Disaster.
Big fail. Epic fail, yeah.
Yeah. So here's my question to you, is that I have the crystal in the apex of the one pyramid that I made, and what my thought process is that I was looking at copper tubing at the hobby shop, and it was really expensive, and they only had very little of it, so I went to the hardware store.
Right.
And what I found is that they actually have 1-inch copper tubing, a 10-foot length is like $11.
Really? That's good.
Cow. Yeah. I only need two of those lengths to make my 1-cubit by 1-cubit pyramid. And kind of to go back, the reason I'm making it 1-cubit by 1-cubit, I live in a small apartment, so I don't have a whole lot of room. And what I was going to do is hang it from the ceiling so I can lower it over my head when I go to sleep.
Ah, right. So, is your house, are you in a single bed?
Yeah.
So, and you haven't got enough space around it?
Nope.
Right. Okay. Well, I would use, in that case, I would use a much finer copper rather than an inch. Half inch, you know, 15 mil, or...
The problem is that with plumbing, they don't make it that small. I would have to go to a specialty house. I'm sure that it is made.
Oh, but you need to cut it anyway.
Right. But
now, here's the thing.
Okay.
All right. And you can get this really cheap. It's called a pipe cutter. And it's a wonderful technology. Have you seen these things?
Yes, I've got one.
Right. So you just roll it around the pipe and it'll...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So
great.
So you got that.
Yep.
That's another essential.
I used to do home remodel.
Right.
So I got all those tools.
All right. So you got all that stuff. So being able. So I would use. I mean, if for instance, if you were making a two foot six pyramid, which is where you're at, you know.
Yeah.
26%. No, it's 96%. Hang on, we'll talk about. We'll go back to that, Ron.
Okay.
If you're making a 2 foot 6 pyramid, I would use something like a car brake pipe. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, absolutely.
Because it's you know, you don't want to have too much weight with this thing, and the thickness would be a bit clunky. To be honest, if you've got model making equipment, you could work quite easily with car brake pipe and straighten it out, and you know, it comes in a roll, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the problem, is that I want it to be perfectly straight. I've worked with flexible aluminum tubing, different kind of lines, because I was early in my younger years, being an aviation nut, I actually worked on aircraft and had all kinds of experience just being a model builder, working on aircraft and stuff, working with semi-flexible, rigid tubings. And once it's in a curl, it is damn challenging to get it perfectly straight.
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah. So, so probably, unless you can get straight lengths of some tubing somewhere.
The other reason I really kind of want to go to the tubing is I want to put crystals in each corner inside the tubing.
Yeah, well, you can go further than that. You can fill it with crystal chips.
You know, I was talking to Andrew about crystals and stuff. God, I wish he was here to join the show.
He'll probably be around later, so we will probably. Yeah, if he comes on, we'll drag him in. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that he and I had talked about, because I can get really close to astral projecting and I just can't do it, and it's frustrating me. And one of the things that he talked about was using, I'm trying to recall here, I believe he told me a granite slab under my bed, and that for some reason, and I didn't quite follow what he was saying, but it helps launch you out of your body. And one of the things that I was really looking into was that what that covering was on the Great Pyramid, and I believe that it was, in fact, granite, was it not?
No.
What was it?
It was the granite is inside the
chambers.
Top of the king's chamber and the so-called sarcophagus. Those are granite. Interestingly, where I'm living, there's a yard just a garden away, sort of disused yard, and they used to work with granite worktops. So there's a few pieces of granite.
Nice.
That I'm laying around, and you've just inspired me, because there's a piece that is about the size of the back of my head, and I'm going to stick that under my mattress tonight. So there you go.
Right on. Right. Please report your results.
Indeed.
So what I was looking for is to find some white crystal or granite that's already in the form of like sand, and I was going to use that for the sides of
marble,
the pyramid that I'm
granite
to mold.
Dust.
But I want the top to be clear so I can see the crystal, but down below that peak, which, you know, given I want to make it 1 cubit, probably 2 inches below the peak so I can really see that crystal nicely, that first layer that I was going to lay in the pyramid was going to be this white sand.
Mm-hmm. So are you talking about putting it inside the tubes, Tony?
No, I'm talking about the molded organite pyramids.
Sorry, I'm kind
of jumping around. From
yeah, sorry, I was. I thought you were talking about the copper tubing pyramid.
No, but I'm thinking also that maybe you could put that white granite sand in the tubing, because it's crystalline.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
And you could get a lot inside a 1-inch tube.
Oh, that'd be very heavy. you got to consider the weight of things. I can hang
it from my ceiling pretty easily, because I have, of all things, Kevlar thread.
Kevlar thread?
Yeah, that's what they make the bulletproof vests out of, Kevlar.
Is that almost invisible?
No, this is pretty heavy-duty stuff. It's actually for wrapping around spars and things like that in model building. And this stuff is almost impossible to cut. You have to use actually a special type of scissors to cut this stuff.
Really?
It's that strong.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So, can you knot it?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
We're being asked, is the angle at 26%? I'm looking at the
chakra. Okay, let's talk angles.
Yes.
No, angles are angels. Angels are angles.
Yes, isn't that interesting?
Yes. They say the devils are in the details, but the angels are in the angles. Anyway, I did have, a long time ago, it was about 20 years ago, I was given the task of making pyramids. Two sizes. One of them was 9 inches, and the other was 9 inches.
And yeah, I got that.
So I was talking earlier about the 90-inch one. I was also asked to make the 9-inch one. And so what you have to first of all picture is that a pyramid consists of a square, and attached to that square are four what I call side arms, four edges, which, you know, if you're building something out of tubing, it's four pieces of tubing, right? So,
right.
But the actual pyramid is an imaginary pyramid that passes right through the center of each of those lines, each of those pieces. Okay? So, for instance, you might be working with a it's like 9 inches long, but the it's 3 millimeters wide. So 1.5 millimeters down into the down below the surface of this material is actually where the pyramid is. So it's a kind of imaginary zero dimension pyramid made of thread, say, that is what you're measuring, and then everything else is like as if you dip that into wax. That make sense?
Actually, you lost me.
Right. Okay. Let's try again.
We've got a square. A square that I'm looking at as a box, or is it just a flat square on a piece of paper?
It's four tubes.
Okay, we're looking at the base then vertically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking down.
It's four tubes that are joined together at the corners.
Right.
Okay. Now, how we do the measurement? This is the tricky bit, because the corner has a dimension to it. It doesn't just make a right angle turn. It's like you're joining two pieces of pipe at 90 degrees. That's what you're doing. So you have to compensate for that. And so what you're looking at, you always have to compensate for the idea that the your 15 millimeter tubing is 15 millimeters thick. So when you're talking about a 90 inch pyramid, it's 90 inch from the exact dead center of that tubing to the other side, exact dead center of that tubing. Does that make sense?
Yes, because you're looking at the center of the tube. If you're looking at the tube from the end of it, you're actually looking at what would be, for anybody who is visualizing this, looking at it from the end of it, all you see is an O.
An O, and right in the middle of that O.
The center of the O.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not know that.
And the dead center of the O is a dot.
Right.
Dot representing zero, infinitely zero point.
That's where you're measuring from.
Yeah, that's where the measurement is. So you're saying that it's 90 inches center to center.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. So let's see. And we're talking about your qubits, all right? Now, okay.
Right.
So.
And I actually looked that up, just so people know. I looked that up on Google or something, and I forget where I got that exact.
There's all different measurements. There's all different things. All different things called a qubit. The royal qubit, the official qubit, the Nike sponsored qubit, the aerial qubit, the lost qubit, the lost qubit. There's a qubit measurement that they lost and then they found again, and they call that the lost qubit, and that's about 18 inches.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've been working with that one. I've got a shelf somewhere that has that benchmarked. It's because I would measure pieces of wire that length and coil them up and put them inside the organite.
A story stick.
Yeah.
A story shelf.
Yeah.
For people who don't know what a story stick is, that's how they used to do carpentry, is that they would use a stick, and there were certain measurements on that stick as they were building, and all the builders had to use exactly the same stick, so no matter who was building it, it came out exactly the same, no matter where they were building.
That's right. So they were following the rule.
Right. Interesting terminology, isn't
it? Interesting terminology. A lot of it comes from building, because we're run by Masons, of course. So
right.
Following the rules means working from the same pattern, doesn't it? It doesn't mean whatever we take it as an oppressive kind of thing to be. Meanwhile, and here's the thing, Tony. I'd like to just remind the audience, I'm talking with Tony Pacek. Pacek? How do you pronounce it?
It's actually Poshik, which is Polish. Polish-Russian, actually, is what I'm finding out.
Yeah.
Poshik or Pazik is the American pronunciation.
All right.
And I have to love Dave because he mispronounces it, I believe, intentionally.
Yes, he always does. That's his thing.
Yes,
that's
his thing. I love you, Dave.
Yeah.
I've heard all kinds of pronunciations, and I've seen all kinds of spellings for my last name, believe me.
So, Pashik was not far away.
Yeah, it's good enough.
And, my grandfather was from Łódź in Poland.
Oh, really?
Lodz. It's pronounced Łódź.
Yeah.
And it's not in Poland anymore, I think.
No, that border has been fought over for millennia, literally.
Yeah. So anyway, back to our pyramid. We've got a pyramid there.
Yes.
And so it's... So you're talking about... You're doing your cubit thing. So whatever it is, whatever that measurement is... when you're cutting it, how are you going to make the ends?
Well, what I was going to do, because I have all the soldering equipment and, you know, with the model building and stuff, I was actually going to take the tube, and I have a table grinder, and I can grind that angle precisely 45 degrees. If we're looking at the top and we're just talking about the base right now, I can grind that angle exactly 45 degrees and actually put that tubing together and solder it together. It doesn't need a fitting, you know, like an elbow fitting.
Okay, good. Right, okay, so you're going to know that from the tip to the tip is going to be your base measurement. Okay. So it will then add the
diameter of the tubing.
The diameter of the tubing.
The diameter of the tubing to each side.
Yeah. Okay. And then you've got your cuts. Now, your next cut. Here is the you know, this is like how to build a pyramid easily if you've got the equipment, right? Which sounds like you have, and it's great.
Yes.
The next issue is your apex, and in fact your sides, right? So you got your sides, and they are roughly 96% of the length of your side. Okay,
run that by me again.
90% the length of the side arms, the ones that go from the base to the apex.
Okay,
is 96% of the base. Okay.
Okay.
So now, again, remember we're working from center to center, and now we're working with a slightly more complex angle.
Right.
It's like 90. Right. So, and how it works out? It works out to be 42 and 48 degrees. Those are the two cuts. Those are the angles of the cuts. 42 and 48 degrees.
Okay, and this is where it's going to run into difficulty, because we're working with tubing. I have to somehow grind that tubing perfectly to fit over the top of the base that we've already built. So the end of the tubing, in order for it to nestle right on top in the corner,
has to have a curve on it.
Yes.
That
it has
curve
to be
is an ellipse, isn't it?
Right. It will end up being an ellipse because of all the angles.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a challenge, but I do have a Dremel tool, and I was thinking about this actually before you even came on the show, which is weird. When I woke up, I was thinking about how am I going to challenge myself with this and getting that ellipse perfect, and I realized that if I can hold the tubing at that angle as if I've already got the base, but I'll take the tubing, and what I'll do is hold it at the angle necessary and then take a pencil and roll it around the tubing to get the ellipse perfectly drawn. You follow what I'm saying?
Run that by again.
It's really difficult to explain.
Take a deep breath and try to cut it from a different angle.
Okay. Because the tubing is round, when I go to put the corner up to the apex, that angle on the end of the tubing is going to be an ellipse. So in order to get that drawn perfectly, I'm going to take a pencil and roll it around the tubing onto the piece that I'm going to grind to fit perfectly nestled down into that corner. You know, this is something that literally a picture needs to be taken of it because it's so difficult to explain because there's multiple angles. You're not only because...
Not only are they angles, but they're multiple curves.
Right.
Right.
So to get that right and get the dimensions perfect is going to be really interesting. The thing is that when you go to the peak of it, it actually becomes simpler and you can actually do it with straight cuts. Because, again, the peak is going to be... What was the angle on the peak?
Right. Okay. So the angle on the peak is... I can't remember. Which one is the shallower angle? Let me just see.
46.
It's 42 and 48. Okay. And I think it's 42 at the base and 48 at the peak.
Okay. So 48 degrees or 48%.
48 degrees is the cut from vertical,
right,
of the apex. Now,
right, and that can actually be done in a straight line, and the sides, actually you're going to be making two sides with that straight cut.
Right. Okay,
and
then.
And then solder that together, and then all you have to do is roll that side up vertically and do that again with a straight cut, and it will actually form a perfect peak. I've worked with tubing quite a bit.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so, all right. Hey, Tony, here's the solution then. You do the same on the corner. You cut the tubing twice.
Yeah.
One, you're getting me. When you're making your base pieces, you cut a slot into the you cut a V shape into it, basically, and the bottom half is going to match with the other side of the base tubing, and the top half is going to be fused in with the angle from the apex, and that would be perfect.
Right.
That would be pure perfection, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. And the reason I wanted to do that is that I realized using elbows to join the tubing, which would be immensely easier, you're not getting the true pyramidal shape.
That's right. This would... Oh, Tony, you've done it. This is taking... I've done this. I now get it that you can do this all with straight cuts.
Right.
You don't need to make a curve cut, but you just make two cuts... In the same way that you make two cuts at the apex, you'll have to make two. Basically, every tube has to have two cuts at each end.
Right, they end up for the listeners. And I realize this is extraordinarily difficult to follow. JP and I are kind of on the same page in regards to. So, here's the thing that's interesting about this kind of stuff, and. Either people have it or they don't. This, for some reason, is not something that is easily taught, is being able to visualize things in spatial orientation. Do you know what I'm talking about, JP?
Yes. Yes. Now, it's very interesting.
That's when you start getting into tubing and everything, you're multi-dimensioning all kinds of aspects of this work.
Yeah. When you think about it twice, it's then quite simple. You just need to pick the thing up and turn it around, and then you can see that it also exists as a series of vertical cuts. You don't need to make any complex curve cuts, just that you can but it's just stepping back and saying that you can do it. So you then need to make your it'll all then end in points, won't it? And you just make your compensation for the length of the thing, about 96%
in the diameter of the tubing.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So Mitali is now online. So contact her. We'll go to a break, and I'd like to thank you, Tony, for joining in this. I think we've all I've gone certainly up a step in precision. because of the way you
actually
you...
called this exactly what it is, and that is a compound miter. But what is challenging, most compound miters, when you're putting up casing and brick mold and stuff like that, you're doing it with square pieces of trim. Mm. And you use a compound miter saw because sometimes that trim is canted 38 to 45 degrees when you're putting it up in the corner of a ceiling and stuff. Mm. And that's when you're using a compound miter saw. He's actually absolutely correct in that description.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, if we can get if you can get a compound miter on your grinder, then and you can do it really quickly, then you can knock up, because what you're going to be doing, you're going to be making each rod, and there are eight rods. Each rod has two cuts at each end, so that's four cuts times eight. So that's 32 cuts you make altogether.
Wow. You're much better with math than I am.
I grew up with it.
You know, it's kind of funny. I suck with numbers, but as far as being able to handcraft things, I just kind of see it. Mm. And that's how it kind of works for me, is that I don't know, that's a detail people don't really need to know, but you know, this getting back into putting the crystals and stuff in the corners, where are you at with that? Do you think that really helps with the
absolutely
pyramid structures?
Right. Now I've just been contacted by Mitali, who's coming from India. So what I'd like to do is actually bring her into the group call, we'll just kind of finish up with what we were talking, and then we'll blend in with Mitali, introduce you, and see how we can go. But
are you at the break? It's 4:01 here.
Yeah, let's do that, and maybe we'll talk a bit about.
Okay, and I can warm up my tea.
That's a good idea. So let's just put on. Who can I have? Oh yes, that's right. Now a friend of mine has a friend who's a musician. Hello, Mitali. Can you turn your speakers down a little bit? So we.
Hello.
Hey there. Hey there, welcome to Ever Beyond. We're now 3 points around the planet. Mitali, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Good. Listen, we're going to take a break now, and I'm going to be playing a track by a band called Protective Fences. They've just released it, and I can give details to anybody who likes it. It's called False Flag. Yes, it's about false flags. It's really quite good.
Will someone read to me a bedtime story? Something that to lift me up out of the way. Hold up the lights before you call me and hold me tight, and I'll be brave. Hide your eyes, the wild horses. Hide your make like everything's coming. We'll be right back. So who did conceive of the official story when all of my dreams were left on parade? Open your eyes before you adore me, for that was the choice that most of us made. Just as done, ever had to say I'm sorry, cause the man has a gun. If only your species would show love, I'm tempted to say this without all the sadness that's given to us.
And welcome back, and this is Ever Beyond. It's the 5th of May 2013, as opposed to 2015, as I said when I first introduced the program. And somebody's just dropped off the call. I don't know who that is. That's great. I love it when the call goes dead. So we've just connected with Mitali, who is in Kolkata. Mitali, who's still on the call? Mitali, you still there? Ah, Tony, he's gone away from the. He's gone to warm up his cup of tea, so we'll find out all that in a minute. So yeah, we were talking about compound miters and culling tubing and doing all that good stuff to make pyramids. I found that building a pyramid is a great way of expanding your knowledge and consciousness, because when you're working with angles and formula and things like that, you have to access something that they call the higher mind. It's the mind that understands mathematics, and it is a very, very civilizing influence on one, which is the connection between, you know, the idea of building a pyramid. This is the whole thing about Masons. Because a pyramid is a temple. And the reason that a pyramid is a temple, and this is the interesting thing. If you remember that I was talking earlier about the pyramid having two pyramids, that there's one at the top and one at the bottom. If you were to start a circle that would slice the pyramid vertically in two, and you drew a circle from the dead center of the pyramid to the apex, and then followed around, and that circle passed through the bottom of the other pyramid. This circle is the circle that is the height of the pyramid. Now, as we know, that the height of the pyramid is not the same as the base of the pyramid. So there's difference there. Now, what's interesting is that the difference between that is that the circle, right, I want to try and explain this exactly right, but if you were to take the base, and let's say the base of a 9-inch pyramid is 9 inches, so if you to take the circumference of the base, the perimeter of the base of the pyramid, and that's 4 times 9 inches, that would then bring you a length of 36 inches. Okay? So if you were then to take a piece of rod 36 inches long and weld the two ends together, you make it into a circle, and you weld the two ends together. Now, if you were to lay the apex of the two pyramids, they would fit on that circle. That would be the exact size of that circle. The exact diameter of that circle is the length of the perimeter of the base of the pyramid. Does that make sense? Because if you understand that, you'll see that the circle represents femininity. The square represents masculinity. Those are the M and the F. Remember the end of the matrix, MF. Male and female. And if you build a pyramid, it combines the male and the female aspects, and that is what a temple is. That's the meaning of temple. That's what we're all trying to do, is be in the temple. So, Tony, are you still there?
Yes, I'm back.
Did you get any of what I just said?
Yeah, I got the last part, and the one thing that I was going to kind of add to that is that it's been very remarkable, some of the research done in other temples across the planet, ancient temples, and that these aspects of sacred geometry are present in all these temples, the squaring of the circle.
The squaring of the circle, exactly. That's exactly what we're talking about. The basic premise of every single temple everywhere on the planet is...
Hey there.
We're talking about the squaring of the circle, which is the basis of every temple. Did you hear any of that, Mita? Do you actually build anything? Have you ever made models of pyramids or anything?
For me?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
No?
Although I do own certain healing pyramids, but I really don't use them a lot.
Yeah, all right. Tony and I were talking about this in the first half, that we're building the things, and Tony's got quite a lot of engineering skill, so we just we just worked out a way live on air of figuring out exactly how to make good and perfect corners of pyramids. So I'll look forward to hearing your reports. Actually, I look forward to the YouTube video that you make of it, Tony.
You know, I was just thinking that it would be worthwhile to take pictures and make a video of what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
It does get a little involved, but once you understand it, as it is, as you said, quite simple.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I pasted in the chat room the video I made. And it's basically, like I said, it's a slideshow with a bit of tune at the back, Okay. It's got the stages of how I made Orgonite with the first time, my first ever show, and it was there were some massive failures, really massive failures, but it's great. So let's bring Vitaly in and start. Would you like a small reading, Tony?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be very interested in that.
Yeah, I'm ready to do it.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Mitali Banerjee, welcome to Over Beyond. Now is your time.
Yes. Thank you so much. What would you like me to read for Tony? Hello?
Yes. I don't know. What do you read for? I'm not really sure what your. I mean, past lives, future lives, what's going on now, healing energies, energies that are in discord, out of alignment. I'm open to everything. I'm an open book. I'm pretty transparent. So you can say whatever you pick up on the air. I have nothing to hide.
Okay, just give me a moment.
Okay.
It seems at the moment there's a lot of transformation going on in your life.
Indeed.
And I do, yes, there's a lot of, I would rather say, you know, a lot of things are ending and there's a new beginning happening in your life. And I also see, you know, a lot of financial gains. The time has come that you should be gaining financially. You're a person who loves, you know, kind of silence, solitude, and gain wisdom. You're a person who gains wisdom when you're on your own. Is that so?
Yes. Absolutely.
And I also feel that you will be, you know, gaining more wisdom in the coming time. And you'll be very kind. You're a person who's very charitable by nature. You know?
Yes.
And I do see money coming to you. You want to be, you know, successful in your area of work. And I do see that happening, you know, this year. And you've been a person who's been, you know, like backstabbed a lot. Is that so?
Can you repeat that last sentence? I missed that. It cut out.
I'm seeing in the cards that you've been backstabbed a lot in the past.
Yeah, there was some darkness in my life. I'm a recovering alcoholic. People, the listeners already know that. I've been sober 17 years, but I was trying really, really, really hard to die.
Okay, but I see that phase is completely over and you're moving into a very beautiful field. You know, you'll be charitable, you'll be successful, and there's a big inner transformation in your life.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if that has to has some aspect to all the physical, really kind of these aches and pains going on in my body. I mean, last night was a very fitful sleep. I was sleeping on some new crystals that I'd bought, and literally, I feel like I've been poked, prodded, and adjusted everywhere. And my neck kind of hurts, my hips kind of hurt, and I know that when I'm sleeping, I'm doing a lot of work somewhere. I don't know where, but my dream state is quite active.
All right. So just don't bother. Just let it go. Just let it go.
Okay.
Just let it go, and I'll send you some shamanic healing. You know, if there is a bucket, it will go away. Don't bother.
So don't focus on the misalignment or the blockage at all. Just release. Doesn't matter that I know what
just
it is.
Just release. No, okay. You don't have to bother what it is. You just release. What okay. is not in your highest, just release it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. You are victorious if you can give up on alcoholism for whatever reason. So you're victorious, you know.
Yeah, it was a very interesting process, and I got a wonderful spiritual toolkit to deal with that, and it really kind of launched me onto this journey of not only self-discovery, but more, I guess, sacred aspects that are quite ancient, and that's where my focus of research and reading was actually focused on, and that's kind of where I started, but got into many other aspects that we're witnessing going on into this world today. And it was initially kind of a shattering experience, but I've come to a point to where seeing the bigger picture, and in numerology I'm actually a number 5, and I was not into numerology at all, but I was shocked when I read what a number 5 was, and that is a person who is seeking truth and the bigger picture.
I'm number 5.
You are too?
Yes, ma'am.
JP, what yeah. are you?
Oh, I'm 11.
Okay.
11, that means 2.
Means 11. 11. 11 is an emotional number, which is why they have all these 11s on 9/11 and all these things. It's designed to make great emotional influence. You could do something really beautiful and do it on the 11th, and it would have a beautiful emotional impact. So I'm told by my previous guest, Gary the Numbers Guy, who is really quite a thing. You know, if you check out my archives, he was on last year, Gary the Numbers Guy. I'll get him on again. He's brilliant. Really very quick.
You know, this brings up a really question for me, is that Mitali, what or even JP or both of you, your input on the best days of the month for me to start projects?
Okay, that way.
Which day?
You asking me?
Yes.
Yeah, he's asking you what are the best days of the month to start a project.
Wait, let me check this out. I think 10th. 10th of every month.
Yeah, okay. I was born June 10th.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
He's just coming out of honor.
Yes.
10th of every month.
Okay.
Two cards came up. Both of them say 10th.
Okay.
Well, interesting. So,
yes.
My input is also not numerology, but just plain cycles of things, is that the phases of the moon are important. So if you're starting a project, you start it just after the full moon. And if you're closing something... I'm sorry?
I was born on a full moon.
You were born on the full moon. So yes. Imagine it's like a slingshot. And the full moon is the point at which the slingshot is the fastest. It's the moment that the stone leaves the shot. And then as it wanes again back to the dark of the moon. So what they say is, if you want your hair to grow longer, you cut it before the full moon as it's waxing, and then you if your hair is too thick and you want it to thin down, is you cut it after the full moon. So does that same with planting things and stuff like that. So anyway, that's my advice. So you can work on that, and if the 10th is on the just after the new moon, or if there's a new moon and it's like the 4th, 5th, then that's the 10th. So you're on a rising energy. See?
Okay.
So we are joined tonight by Diane Tishmack, otherwise known as Eagle Flower, otherwise known as Dakota Flower. Hello, Diane. How are you doing?
Well, hello there. Can you hear me
fine?
Hi,
Diane.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Mitali.
Yeah, how are you doing, my dear?
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well. Thank you for asking.
So, would you like to talk with Mitali and see where she takes you?
Of course. Mitali, what can I tell you?
What can you tell me? Just tell me, how am I doing now? Where am I going?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Just mean where? What is my sole purpose in life?
Oh, you're asking. You're
She's
telling
saying-
me what my question is.
Yes.
Okay. I understand.
So is that your question?
That would be very... You're asking me that question, or that you're saying that that is
you.
My question?
Yes.
I'm asking you.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I'm in the middle of discovering that, I believe. I've always been a caretaker, a nurturing person, and I've been doing some creative writing recently, and I seem to have a great responsibility coming up. I'm not sure in detail what that is exactly, but I'm in the process of discovering that.
That's indeed very good.
We'll have to work on this long silence here. We can add this to some of the highlights of the year's Dead Air collection, available on DVD, CD, and VHS, apparently.
I've been asked several times if I'm interested in writing a book. I'm being encouraged right now to do a internet radio show. And all of this would be in relation to my inspired writings. So if you can give me any insight on any of this, that would be nice.
Yeah, let me do it. Just give me a moment.
You should have some nice music, like you have in a lift that comes with the
interlude.
Yeah. Oh, did I have some of that? Hang on, I think I made some once. Let me just check my collection. I had some on my desktop. Where is it? It had this funny little title. Let me just see.
How is Pip doing, JP?
We came up with a really good idea today, or last night. I've got rats in the attic.
Ah.
Apparently rats are frightened of wolves as a predator. So we used what comes naturally out of the dog. I've got a couple of kitchen towel fragments that are soaked in the stuff. So I'm going to dry it out and put it in little bags and throw it in bags around the attic, and see if the little critters don't leave the house as soon as possible.
You know, that's a brilliant idea, JP.
We were trying to come up with a kind of compassionate kind of way of leaving rats out of the house.
Right, non-violent.
Yeah.
I think another way, too, would be the feline group.
Lion pee. Apparently you can buy lion pee on the internet.
Well, what I was thinking more in terms of the spiritual felines, and just envision a very, very large cat face up there in the attic.
All right. Cheshire cat.
Yeah, sort of.
So, Mitali, how have you got?
I did a reading for Diane, and surprisingly, Tony and Diane picked up the same card, that there is a inner transformation going on in Diane's life, and I see her becoming completely spiritual, you know, and a lady of strength.
I did not understand the last part.
Completely spiritual.
Are you turning? Yep.
And the lady of strength, did you say?
Yep.
Thank you. Very interesting.
Interesting wording, a lady of strength. I like that, don't you?
That is my eagle part.
Yeah. Yep.
I seem to be growing into my name.
So,
absolutely.
You're are you in Dakota? Which Dakota are you?
I'm in North Dakota.
And are you part of the Dakota tribe?
Oh no, I'm Russian, German, and Polish, and Bohemian in English.
All right, what are you doing over there? I had a couple of those in there.
Well, somebody had to come across the pond.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was saying earlier, Tony and I might be Shirtail relatives.
Wow.
Yeah, we're part of the melting pot is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, my grandparents came from Russia, so... And you're from a Russian-Polish area migration, too, so you never
right.
know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me, too. My grandfather came from Łódź in Poland. So, yeah, I got some of that in there. But, yeah, so here we are. Mitali, are you... do you have a kind of tribal system there, or the sort of family bloodline thing going on? Are you a princess?
No, it's not. I'm no princess. No, there's no tribal thing out here. But yeah, there is a clan system. In Hindus, you have got the caste system. You know, so earlier. What used to happen, you know, the demarcation on the caste system was very, very raw, brutal, you know, scheduled caste, untouchables, and all that stuff. But I'm lucky enough that I never had to face all those things.
So that was the rather bizarre from our point of view. It was like three casts. Is it more than three casts or three casts? The Untouchables, the Brahmins, and the Vishnavas. Am I right?
Yeah, I happen to be by virtue a Brahmin, so I really never had to face those things. But I know in India, even some part of it, you know, it's very sorry to say that they still believe in the rural areas and all, you know, they still believe in the caste system.
Very interesting.
But now it's fading. It's fading away. It's fading away, but with the older generation, it's still there. You know?
Okay. So that's interesting.
Face it. Yeah, it's sad. It's sad, you know, with but with the younger generation these days, I find these things are not there anymore.
And so is there, like, much more intermarriage and things like that? Because that's the key to it. You know, as long as the bloodlines are kept separate, then everything's in control by the powers that be. But as soon as the bloodlines start mixing, that's when...
In my own family, I've seen, you know, my cousin brother getting married to a scheduled caste person. And she's a wonderful... And my uncle and aunt, they had little apprehension, you know. But love made it possible. So I just, you know, I have this message for the younger generation. It's not the caste that matters. It's the human being who matters. You know?
But you do find that the consciousness of the younger generation is changing, is let go of this rigid prejudice.
Absolutely,
absolutely. Mitali, what type of reading do you do? Is it from cards of some sort?
See, Diane, it depends, you know. Right now I used cards, but at times I can do, you know, intuitive readings. At times it's just by talking to the person and listening to the problem, something pops up suddenly. But yes, mostly I do tarot. I do tarot, not... see, prediction, not much. I was talking to... JP the other day, it's mostly on counseling. Because see, future, you can alter it. I've seen you can alter your future.
That's what we're finding out these days, isn't it? Very much.
Absolutely. You can alter.
And you mentioned that you're involved, or your tradition is of Hinduism.
Yeah, but I read the Bible. I'm a very open kind of person. If I want to pray, and if I find a church nearby, I go to the church. If I find a gurudwara, I go to the gurudwara. See, I was raised, my father was in the Indian Army, right? And I've been raised by parents who believe in spirit, God, definitely, but not a particular sect, you know, or a particular religion. I was given the freedom to choose.
Well, that's very liberal of your family.
Absolutely, and my father was famous in the Indian Army because he would not believe in churches, mosques, or, you know, temples or anything. There was a hall that used to be built in the regiments, and it used to be called the House of Prayers. And four walls dedicated to the four religions.
Yes.
So anybody entering that house of prayer would have to bow down to all the four religions. And he got an award for that also, you know.
Well, that's certainly an equalizer, isn't it?
Absolutely. And he says that God is one. It's only, you know, we put a tag to it. He's Jesus. He's God is one. And I also believe.
Well, through the years, I've enjoyed reading various Eastern Indian writers. My most favorite one is Master Yogananda. And
yeah,
I'm still working on his later book of The Second Coming of Jesus the Christ. That's a 2-volume set.
Two words. He's here. Two words, no 2 volumes. 2 words. He's here. Deal with it.
Well, no, this is of Christ, the Christ consciousness.
All right, it's here. We are it. We're here.
Well, that's true.
You know, anybody who speaks from the heart.
A very inspirational way of writing. I've found an awful lot of insight and just words to ponder when I've been reading his that particular volume or book.
You know, Yogananda was on my... I was just looking for a house, somewhere to stay, right? And I walked into this room, and there was a photo of Yogananda on the wall. I said, "Oh, Yogananda." We started talking about Yogananda. A couple of hours later, they said, "Oh, yeah, what about the room?" By which time, you know, well, anyway, she became my wife, and we had a child together, and then everything fell apart. But that's another story. But it was Yogananda who brought us together, and I could say Paramahansa Yogananda. You see,
yes.
And at that point, I think I had her. You know, anybody who would say Paramahansa Yogananda. Was, you know, that was enough of a line,
you know,
really.
You know what's amazing about
Sad,
him?
Sad, I know, but anyway, sorry.
What's amazing about him is that his he was such a strong figure in this country in the early 1900s, and today no one knows about him.
Yeah.
Unless there's a certain following that you discover him. But I find that amazing where there were so many strong figures in recent years and they've just been lost to the general public where they're not aware of them.
They killed our prophets. Mitali, what are we going to do about the problem with the people, the powers that be, killing the prophets? It's not good, is it?
See, anything, you know, which is not in alignment. You know, I feel that whatever is not in alignment is not good, you know. Killing, hurting others intentionally is not good, you know.
Well, that's what we're in the midst of doing right now, is to become realigned and to discover, rediscover.
Absolutely, we need to focus on what we can build, not what we can destroy. I believe every human being has that potential. Every human being, irrespective of what their culture is, or what their race is, what their caste is, every human being has the potential to build up. But we are more focused on what we can destroy. Destruction never brings anything good. It's only the love, the creativity, and the bonding that builds up a person. And the day any human being realizes that I am that infinite power, I am that infinite love, you know, half the problem of the world will get solved. We're just fighting for nothing. Fighting never brings any good to anybody. I have realized that with the little life that I led so far that fighting will never bring you anything.
Mitali, it was nice talking with you, and thank you, and I'll let you talk with Tony and JP.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you so much, Diane. And
I'm sorry you blanked out at the very end.
Sorry, I talked over everybody. Go ahead, Mitali. So, now we've still got Tony on the line, and here's Mitali, and is anybody, well, Andrew's just about to spontaneously combust with a very rich dinner and roast leg of lamb. Oh yes, it's the annual slaughter of the Paschal lamb for the, isn't that a bit late? I don't know, when's Easter? Have we missed it? Have we had Easter yet? Is it now?
Yeah, that's long gone.
All right. Because, I thought so. It's just because Andrew's saying he's had an Easter dinner. But I think, you know, because he's Greek Orthodox, that they do have different dates for the festivals because it's just, like, arbitrary. The Easter happens to be on the first full moon after the spring equinox.
That's right.
It's just arbitrary, isn't it? Or is it? I don't know. Well, anyway.
Seemingly.
Exactly. Greek Orthodox Easter. Bless your heart and bless your stomach. And I hope you've eaten some good raw food as well lots of salads and stuff like that to help you digest all that stuff. Hey man, I have to share this thing. Maybe I'll talk about that tomorrow, doing the gardening. I've had a revelation, which is that there's a weed growing in my garden, and you can eat it. And I'm going to eat my way through the garden. I'm going to eat all the weeds in there. And,
so are they dandelions or what?
It's called ground elder. It's virulent. I mean, it's more like the lawn. There is more green covered by ground elder, and the thing is, it's absolutely edible. And for the last week, me and last night, I made for my girlfriend a massive curry, which, yes. Anyway, so we made a massive curry with, it was an alu sag, or a sag alu. How do you pronounce it, Mitali?
What?
Spinach and potato curry.
That's good. Tastes nice.
Well, it's a weed that in my garden I can use instead of spinach, and it's loads of it. And, I've found a way to deal with the weed is to actually start eating the garden back. Instead of it's eating my garden, I'm going to eat it back. Maybe it's because it's Easter somehow and everybody's just been interesting. Everybody's away this week. It's rather quiet. Not a stitch of raw food. Not a stitch of raw food. All right. All right. So the Greek Orthodox Easter is after the first full moon after the Jewish Passover. Uh-huh. That's interesting. So it's always the next full moon, because the Jewish Passover is the first full moon after the spring equinox. So the Greek Orthodox one is the second full moon after the spring equinox. Brilliant. It's really great. I love New Year's celebrations because they're completely arbitrary. You know, there you go. It's lovely. But yes, this weed in my garden is it was planted by the Romans so that their soldiers could eat. So it's just spread like this virus that goes through the entire country. You could probably use it as a telephone network if you were clever enough.
So was it brought from Italy?
Surely.
I mean, if it's Roman, that's the assumption that I'm making, but
yeah.
That could be not correct, because
yeah,
they actually span the Mediterranean. They could have brought it from anywhere in the Mediterranean.
Yeah, they could have found it somewhere. I mean, they probably found it on Cyprus. Cyprus is the seed bank of the planet, from my ideas. That was what they said about Cyprus. It has all the varieties.
That interestingly corresponds with what's going on in Cyprus regarding the financial stuff. I realize that's quite a jump, but
no, it's not.
It being a seed island, and that the spiritual energy there is being manipulated towards an end that we don't desire, which is always the case. But Andrew had some very interesting insight regarding what was being done financially and some of the spiritual energy that was embedded within that.
Yeah, that's a very interesting idea. So the idea that we're talking about very briefly is that there is a life form, a life force, a consciousness that has evolved through the banking computers in Cyprus. They're somehow connected in through the rest of the world through the banking network, but the Earth was able to interface. Now, Cyprus is a very interesting and fertile place, let me tell you. It's a paradise. It's a bit of a paradise hell, because, you know, if you're down and out, it's not a great place to be. There's an energy there. There's a crackling. It's like it's closer to the center of the Earth volcano thing. That's Cyprus, and it's a seed bank. It's got varieties of all different plants all over the world. It's really new. It's got the most varieties of any plant, if you see what I mean. Just a seed bank. They say about Cyprus, it's like a woman who everybody wants to go out with, but nobody wants to marry.
See, this kind of gets into one of the things that I've come to believe in, and I wish I could remember the name of the book that I read, but it was talking about all spiritual energy manifests physically.
As above, so below.
Right. And that, you know, we kind of touched on this before, although it wasn't said this way, and what Mitali was saying is that there is no separation. The all is one, the one is all. And that the idea that we're somehow supposed to be always looking at our differences, and that has been, in my estimation, very manipulated and driven by these power elites. While they're doing what they're doing, they're constantly keeping us at each other's throats. And that paradigm, that thought cancer, that belief cancer is coming to an end with all the energies that are coming into this planet right now through the galactic plane, is that we are in a period of profound transformation. And I'm actually witnessing that within my own recovery groups, is that anything that's out of alignment is being magnified, and anything that's in alignment is being magnified with all this energy coming in.
So, Mitali, are you finding this the kind of flow, this kind of wave of movement in your clients? You know, you see lots of clients. You have lots of conversations. You've got a kind of barometer.
Yeah. I'm myself undergoing a lot of transformation, and I can feel whatever is not with my spiritual alignment, whatever is not for my highest and good, it is automatically going away from me without any kind of conflict. I am seeing friends, you know, or maybe certain habits, or maybe certain people, you know, they're just vanishing from my life. It's not that I'm having a fight or I'm having a conflict with them or some, arguments with them. They're just moving out. And then when I ask myself, why is this happening? It's somewhere, you know, as if that universe or that cosmos is telling me, these are not in your alignment.
You know, JP, she brought up something you brought up something very interesting, Mitali, is that I'm finding that exact same thing in my life. I've had some friends that I still care about them and everything, but they are not of the same consciousness. They are not able to bring in the ideas that there is this spiritual transformation that is occurring right now. And those people in my life are simply disappearing, and I'm finding it interesting that and very powerful that these are the people that I can't have a conversation with regarding any of the topics that we talk about here on Wolf Spirit Radio, and they are literally disappearing from my life. No conflict, no... Yeah, it's an amazing process. Some of the friends I've known for quite some time, and I have not heard from them since the beginning of the year.
It's quite possible. I realize, you know, I had this friend for 20 years. I have full regards for her, full respect for her, complete love for her. She's helped me in one of the most trying moments of my life, but I just can't relate to her. Like a couple of months back, I couldn't relate to her. She would go on with the stories and I could feel blank, you know, complete blank. I couldn't connect to her. And it came to a point where, you know, there's no conversation. But I never had a fight, I never had anything. But it was just a complete shutdown. And when I asked myself, in the meditation I was, you know, asking, why did this happen? Because what happens, Tony, is your vibration level, the frequency at which you are vibrating and the frequency at which your friends are vibrating, there's a complete mismatch. You're at a higher frequency, I won't say lower, but maybe not more conscious frequency. I'm not here to demean anybody, but their frequency level is much at a very nascent stage. I'm sure they will also have the increased vibration, but till the time they are not that fully awakened, you know, you just can't. You know, there is a frequency mismatch. That's why you are put in a different corner.
That's what I'm
really sensing.
Bless
those people. A lot of love happen, and just let them go. If they come up to your vibration level, again, there'll be a, you know, harmonious matching. But till the time they are not, let them be what they are. We are not here, you know, spiritual people or people who are dealing with energy. We are not here to, you know, I won't say increase people's vibration, but at the same time, we are not here to, you know, create conflict.
Right.
Everybody
it's
has
not,
their own individual journey.
Right. It's not my job to wake people up. I've discovered that kind of the hard way, and I have planted seeds, and I've just walked away after planting that seed, and we'll see if it grows. It's not my duty nor my responsibility to get people to wake up, and that has been incredibly actually freeing to realize that my journey is about healing myself and coming into alignment with myself. And what I've found is that as I'm doing this, different people notice me, and those are the people I'm to work with, communicate with, and have interaction with.
And at that point, we have to call it to a close. I think because normally at this time, at 5 o'clock PST, there's a Frank Jordan and the Earth Mind Think Tank. But Oh, yes. Oh, there we go. There we go. So, yes, this is the end of the show. I will be joining Frank Jordan in a few seconds. So I'd like to thank you, first of all, Mitali Banerjee. We'll be joining Mitali a couple more times this month in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
And so it's an hour earlier this time. Whatever time you started this time, it's an hour earlier, and we'll do that. So thank you very much, and this has been Ever Beyond. And
yes, and thank you, and bless you, Mitali. It was a pleasure to meet you. My gratitude.
Yeah. Thanks so much, and do add me on Skype. We'd love to learn something from you.
I will do that.
Beyond.